This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
Good morning, church. The first reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, starting at verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm reading from Proverbs. I've had a wonderful past few days looking through Proverbs, and I wrote down all the ones I wanted to read to you. There are lots of them. And I discovered that when I come up here, it's already been done for me. I got a piece of paper with them all written out and my name on the top. But it did me good. I really enjoyed it. Have a go at Proverbs. These are many numbers, so I won't tell you which they are. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honour and life. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You've been sitting for 20 minutes, so please stand. See who's asleep already. Okay, left hand up, that's my right hand. Okay, please be seated. Father, your scriptures call us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Awaken in us a passion to know more and more about you, so that increasingly we can grow to be like you, as Jesus requested. Amen. Well, Michael titled the sermon for today, Pride and Humility. Now, on a scale of where 1 is very humble and 10 is very proud, what would be your score between 1 and 10? Hand up if you haven't given yourself an answer yet. Yeah, come on. Now, it's a very appropriate question to ask at this stage, because 2024 is the 50th anniversary since Mac David wrote the tune, "O Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking every day. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble but I'm doing the best that I can. And I had a warden 40 years ago who frequently would sing that song. I hope it was just because the contrast was so good. Now, if that song sums you up, then you're a 10 on the scale of 1 to 10. But if you're quite content being very ordinary, with no need to be praised or honoured or even noticed, then you're a 1 on the humble to proud axis. What are you between 1 and 10? And would whoever knows you best agree? There were two guys at 8 o'clock who challenged each other afterwards. They both had numbers that were very different from what the other one thought. So the discussion was fairly strong outside the door. Last Sunday, I was at church in Kiama, and during the sermon, I went to sleep. Fortunately, I was sitting in the back row, or the second back row, because at morning tea afterwards, the woman who was behind me said, "Oh, did you have a nice sleep?" And she was behind me. So for those who sleep in sermons, and how you do it in church pews, I've got no idea, but for those who sleep in sermons, it's a good idea if I give you the end before we start, because at least you'll... And the most important thing, I think, out of today's sermon is something I will get to at the end. It's St. Paul's words, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Now, today's Bible reading, as Sarah pointed out, it's a selection of verses from Proverbs, and the verse numbers, when I refer to them, will just be the verse number, not the chapter. And let me suggest that you have a pen handy, because you will have some good ideas of your own during the sermon. I'm not saying make notes of my sermon, but you get a good idea from the sermon, or it reminds you of something, jot it down. So you've got something that you take from each sermon to think about over your cup of tea or afternoon tea today. Now, the Bible has quite a bit to say about humility and pride, but it is not always crystal clear if it's good or bad. For instance, Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." And he also said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Now, no matter what tone Jesus used when he made these massive claims for himself, they're not what we today would generally call humble. And even though they are absolutely true, on their own, they do sound a bit proud. But Jesus also said about himself, "I am gentle and humble in heart." So, is Jesus proud or humble? What number does he get from 1 to 10? And similarly, St. Paul is not easy to score either, because, for instance, he wrote about his rank, "I am the least of all the apostles. I do not even deserve to be called an apostle." And about his personal morality, "What I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." Now, those words are pretty humble. They really are. But on the other hand, Paul could also write, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord will award me." And elsewhere he wrote, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." On the surface, these words are not at all humble. So, do Jesus and Paul show a mixture of both pride and humility? Do they swing from one to the other? Or do we just have to look a bit deeper to find a consistency? Well, let's see. Quite simply, the scriptures show us examples of humility that are sometimes good and sometimes bad, and also examples of pride, sometimes good, sometimes bad. We just need the context to know which is which. And then it's not difficult to work out. But first, there is an important distinction in the Bible that we better not overlook. When we talk about pride and humility, we are usually thinking in relation to other people. And we can so easily tend to consider ourselves superior to others, pride, or inferior, humility. The Bible, however, has a big slice of its thinking about pride and humility as concerning our relationship with God rather than others. The person who disobeys or even just ignores God is classed as a fool and proud. But the person who builds his life around God as his Lord is not only wise but is also humble. So, looking now at these verses from Proverbs in the first reading today, humility, verse 4, humility is the fear of the Lord. It's not a thought that we usually put together. Humility is a fear of the Lord. Or number 2, with humility comes wisdom. And in 33, humility is following wisdom's instruction and fearing the Lord. Now, this is all good humility. It's deliberately embracing God's authority and accepting whatever it brings. He is my Lord. Full stop. Good humility, for example, is Jesus saying, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And this goal, of course, in time, led Jesus to cry, "Not my will, but thine be done." Perfect humility. Paul, well, he observed, Christ's love constrains us to try to persuade others to live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them. And that's a hard job, but he felt compelled, so he did it. That is humility. He is embracing God's authority over him, and it leads to his further astonishing observation. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, in plenty or in want, whatever the situation. That is, with God in charge, whatever happens is okay. No grumbling. This is humility. That's good. God's in charge, and I happily go along with whatever that brings. This is the heart of the Bible's idea of the humility we should all display. However, there is another humility. Paul wrote about those who delight in false humility, who are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. What is false humility? Well, it's pretend humility, to impress the crowd. Charles Dickens, Uriah Heep in David Copperfield. One simple example, several times on the night before Good Friday, that's Maundy Thursday, I've been in a church that had a Last Supper service, which involved the clergy imitating Jesus, washing the parishioners' feet. Jesus was being humble, doing the task of the lowest servant. But when I knelt and washed my parishioners' no doubt already well-washed feet, I felt I was the focus of attention. It was not so easy for the outward show of humility to become inward look-at-me pride, pretend humility, false humility, bad humility. In the same way, there can be good pride and bad pride. Good pride, St. Paul, I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. Now, this does sound a bit like an employee urging his boss to give him a handsome bonus. However, I think it's more like a child who's made his bed and tidied his room for once just to make his parent happy and surprised. And the child's reward is the parent's delight. then, oh, look what I've done, is a good boast. And so it is with Paul. He has enjoyed pleasing Jesus. Also, we boast about our favourite musicians and actors and authors and Olympians. So why not our Saviour? Paul declares, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. When Paul was being forced to defend his track record once, he wrote, oh, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses, because that, in turn, reflects any glory from his work back onto God. So too with, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul had a goal. He may not have been able to live up to it 100%, but here it is. May I never boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good pride is enjoying pleasing Jesus or boasting about him. Bad pride. In the Garden of Eden story, Satan tempts Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. When you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit was desirable for gaining wisdom, she ate it. Now this was pride. She would gain wisdom and be like God. This was bad because, as Eve had previously said, God did say you must not eat the fruit of that tree, you must not touch it. This was pride because she decided she knew better than God what was good for her. This is the very heart of sin, rebelling against the Creator's authority, promoting my own idea of what is good for me and brushing the instructions aside. Bad pride. And this bad pride, Proverbs tells us, verse 2, brings disgrace. Verse 5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. They will not go unpunished. Jesus, of course, clarified this idea because God actually loves everyone, but he is so offended by our upstart and unrepented rebellion that it will lead to final destruction, because the God of love will never force anyone to turn from their rebellious pride and adopt humble loyalty to him. Rebellion ultimately leads to spiritual death, which Jesus described as outer darkness, and it's so emotional, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Pride in the Bible, like humility, can be good or bad. Our rating out of 10 on the humility-pride axis is, in the Bible's view, is primarily about our relation to God. But it also, of course, goes on to our more familiar area of relations with other people. And Jesus said, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I once read of a gifted young preacher who was invited to preach at a very significant occasion in Scotland. He was honoured, even thrilled. He worked up the best sermon that he could craft. It would be so memorable. On the day, he climbed the pulpit stairs full of confidence and expectation of a great result. Sadly, he lost his place a couple of times. He misread his notes more than once. He repeated himself when he should not have, and he got confused telling one long story. Generally, made a mess of his big opportunity. At the end, he came down from the pulpit crestfallen. An older guy commented to him, you'd have come down like you went up if you'd gone up like you came down. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is a good example of pride goes before. Just seeing who's asleep. Pride goes before a fall. Does it always? No, but it often does significantly enough for that to be a worthy statement. It's a very healthy warning, not an immutable certainty. So there is good pride, enjoying doing well something good. You're meant to enjoy doing good things well. And there's bad humility. My father was a true gentleman who would never get on a bus or train if there was someone else who could get on before him. He was the stand-back champion, even if he was there first. Then one day the conductor said, after several people had got on, "Bus is full, sorry," and he was left at the stop. My mother was incandescent. But what is certain is that God longs for us to be like him, humble with all we meet and alert to the danger of pride, which would have us consider another person lesser than ourselves and so unworthy of our friendship or our care. But how are we able to grow more humble? How can I avoid the curse of bad pride and embrace the blessing of good humility? Well, there are four steps I'm going to suggest, all three suggestions from St. Paul and one from Peter in their writings in the scripture. The first one, and the most essential one, because you're not going to become more humble accidentally, or that's unlikely, the first thing is to make a decision. Decide, I am growing to grow more humble. St. Paul wrote, in your relationships, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, made himself nothing and humbled himself even to death on a cross. Growing less proud and more humble will mean changes. And so it requires a decision. I am going to make those changes. I have decided. That's number one. Number two, Paul again. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, friendship with Jesus is like any other friendship in that it comes from quality time together. Regular Bible reading, unrushed prayer, especially praise, will steadily grow that friendship so that what God wants actually grows more and more important to us. And then more and more gladly we accept the changes that he wants, and they make more and more sense. So set your heart on things above, that is, on Christ and what he wants. One, decide. Two, set your hearts. Three, where we started, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And this is not easy. Boy Scouts promise to do a good turn to somebody every day. That's a good start. When we work at putting the needs of others in more prominent place, we will soon be doing that good deed every day and more. Value others above yourself. And then the fourth one, the broad general one, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. It's like putting on a coat. Yes, it could be pretending, but you won't be fooled by it. But as we do the actions, it gives an opportunity for our heart and our mind to catch up so that they work together, each inspiring the other. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. So work on your thinking and your actions so that you deliberately think more humbly and act more humbly. So four suggestions. One, decide, I will be humble. 2, set your heart on Jesus' words of what matters and what's important. And 3, value others above yourself. And 4, clothe yourself.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.